From the offices of Cocktail Collective, this is Cocktails Distilled, a podcast that takes your favourite spirits and liqueurs from the still to the cocktail glass. In each episode, we talk to distillers and creators about particular expressions that their brand have released, what they are, why they were created, and in what cocktails they can be used. Are you ready to understand what's in your glass, or perhaps should be? Welcome to Cocktails Distilled. If you've ever been to Dublin, you've probably heard of Slane Castle. If you've ever followed the tour plans of any big rock bands, you've probably heard of Slane Castle. And if you have a taste for Irish whiskey, then you've definitely heard of Slane Castle. In an attempt to keep the historic house and 1,500-acre estate in the black, the Cunningham family have spent more than a decade putting down roots in the now fast-growing world of Irish whiskey. To explain the grain, the blend, and the casks, we talk to Alex Cunningham, who puts a rather titled spin on Irish whiskey distilling. Thank you for joining us, Alex.
My pleasure.
Am I correct in saying that the whiskey under the Slane name isn't really quite yours yet?
I guess that's true in part. So we started distilling in 2017, and the Irish whiskey rules are that it's got to be in wood for 3 years. So in order to get ourselves started, we actually bought distillate from other distilleries in Ireland. But rather than just blending that whiskey and putting it out to market, we did a secondary maturation at Slane to kind of put our own flavour stamp on it. So I wanted to try and create whiskey that was smooth but full of flavour. So we did a triple cask process, which took us a further 2 years. So that bit we did ourselves.
So how much longer does it need to age?
So our own distillate, technically we started distilling in around October 2017. So legally, to comply with the rules, it'll be October this year, 2020. But I reckon that would be malt whiskey and it's probably going to need a bit longer. It'll be ready when it's ready. I'm thinking maybe 5 or 6 years in total for the malt.
Now, when that is the case, I'm assuming that all the barley and water that's gone into the whiskey that you're aging has actually been sourced from the estate.
So the River Boyne flows through the farm. So that's our water source for the distillery. Nice soft water with a little bit of minerality. On our 1,500 acres, we do grow barley around somewhere between 1,200 to 1,500 tons a year. So I'd say within the next 3 years, we'll be able to supply everything that we need in terms of raw material, i.e. barley, for the distillery. But we're on a learning journey there, because I used to grow feed barley, which is very different to growing malting barley.
Do you want to explain the difference with that?
Sure. So when you're growing feed, you want high protein. Mm-hmm. When you are growing for malting barley, you want high starch, low protein. So it's a completely different nutrient management plan.
Now, does that require a completely different strain of barley, or is it just the way that you grow it?
Both. So it'll be different varieties, and also the way that you grow it will be different as well. So we've gone within 3 years of producing pretty good quality to absolutely top quality. The maltsters that we work with said our barley crop last year was in the top percentile in terms of quality for malting in the country. So really proud of the farming team, you know, for pulling that off. But it will set us apart in that, you know, it's unusual to have a link between the land and the distillery so close. So it's almost like a vineyard approach, I suppose.
Okay. Now, you were saying that the Slane that is being sold at the moment is basically sourced from other distilleries. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that and the process that it goes through?
Sure. So first of all, we are distilling now at Slane, and our own distillates will gradually phase into the blend as and when they're ready. But the blend that we have out now, which we call Triple Cask, so it started its life in American whiskey barrels when we bought it, and it was a variation of different ages. So in order to add our own character, we took it out of those American whiskey barrels and put it into three barrels at the same time for roughly 2 years. And each barrel brings something different to the equation, with the intention of creating a blend that was still smooth, which is what you expect from an Irish whiskey, but some good depth. You know, it's quite bold, full-flavoured. So those three different barrels all bring something different to the equation. So you've got a virgin American white oak barrel as the first one from the Brand Forman Cooperage in Kentucky, customized specifically for Slane. And when you cook or toast the wood rather than char it, it releases vanillins and that becomes vanilla. So you get a lovely big hit of vanilla on the nose. So that's the first barrel. The second one we call seasoned. Now that just means that someone has been in that barrel before you get it, not a person of course, but you know, another liquid. And in this case, because of our partnership with Brand Forman, we were able to zero in on the Tennessee Whiskey or Jack Daniel's barrel. And what that does is it deepens the sweet notes. So you're getting a lovely kind of brown sugar territory, like Demerara sugar. And something that I'm particularly fond of, which has a little bit of a ripe banana tone, which is something you'll find in Jack. And that barrel, when it crosses the Atlantic, it's going to have a little bit of liquid left in there, because otherwise the barrel's going to dry out.
Yeah.
So we don't waste anything in Slane, so we'll take out the bung, we'll nose it. If it's good, we pour in on top. So that liquid is actually going to be directly absorbed into what becomes the future seasoned liquid.
Right, okay.
And then the last barrel is Older World, so it's an Oloroso sherry cask from Jerez in Spain.
Okay.
And out of the three, it's probably the biggest and the boldest, delivers a lot of lovely color to the whiskey, but it introduces a really nice kind of fruit cake, so like raisins and dates and figs. And on the finish, a little bit of like a brown or a baking spice, hint of clove and nutmeg. So Slane does have a little bit of spice on the finish, but it doesn't, there's no bite.
Right.
Yeah, because we wanted it to be smooth.
So once you're producing from the ground up yourselves, how difficult is it going to be to replicate those same flavours that people now associate with your brand?
So one of the wonderful things about whiskey is, you know, it's a completely natural process. You will have two barrels from the same part of the warehouse, from the same spirit run, and they will be different.
Yes.
And that's just the wonderful thing about whiskey.
Yeah.
So consistency is really important. So yes, I would say our malt style, for example, we triple distill at Slane. The new make that we've got off the stills is really fruity and bright and fresh. It's all like pear drops and pineapple and passion fruit. That would mimic, I guess, some of the malt that we bought in, but as it goes into the wood, it's only going to evolve in its own way. But bearing in mind that the stock that we bought is all different ages,
yeah,
and our stuff will mature, and as and when it's ready, we'll start to blend it in. So what will happen is we should be able to get some good consistency, and if anything, nudge up quality over time, because now we're able to control the quality of the cask from day one, as opposed to buying distillate from others that was in barrels over which we had no control.
Right.
So it's not suddenly someone else's juice and then one day it's ours, because the whiskey is all different ages. So it's more of a crossover meshing over time. We gradually blend in and replace what we made ourselves from what we bought from others. So I'm confident we will be able to meet consistency and certainly quality. And if anything, the ambition would be to try and equal or surpass what we've got from others and improve over time.
And I suppose to some degree it's going to come down to the skills of your blender as well.
Very important. You're absolutely right. And so we've got a really skilled team on the ground in Slane. We've just actually recently taken on a new head distiller, Garoed Cahill, who brings a lot of experience to the team. We've got a young team there as well, Alan Buckley, who I took on initially. So Garoed and Alan lead the efforts on the production, including the blending, and I still have a role in that as well.
I was about to ask, how involved in the distilling and the blending are you?
So I'm obviously on the road a lot now. I was very involved in the distillery design and getting it up and running, but I don't have an active role in production per se. But I'm still very keen to get involved in blending and tasting and our new product development in particular. So deciding what our whiskies of tomorrow are going to be.
Right.
I'm absolutely involved in that.
I suppose also as the brand matures and there's less touring involved,
yeah,
that will give you the opportunity to be more involved in what's happening on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I have huge confidence in our team, in the production team, so day-to-day involvement in production is no longer, I guess, that's not really my remit, but I certainly want to make sure that our whiskies of the future, and indeed maintaining quality on the blend, still happen. So yeah, I still knock on the production doors, guys, doors, and get involved, and they are very good about involving me as well. So I love tasting, you know, the new make, watching that evolve already has been a really exciting process. So as I say, some of our spirit has been in the past for coming up on 3 years, and it's coming together really nicely.
How much knowledge did you have of Irish whiskey and distilling and tasting before all of this started?
So my very first job in Irish whiskey was over 20 years ago now. I actually started out as a brand ambassador here in Australia, working for Jameson many moons ago.
Okay.
So I guess that's when I first started to delve into the Irish whiskey world. As then we put together our early blends, I was very involved in working with the distillers because we source from other distilleries. So I've done, I'd say I've got a reasonable experience of tasting at this stage, but I'm not a master distiller or a master blender. I don't profess to be, but I guess I've had to learn as I go, and I'd like to think I would hopefully know a good whiskey from a bad one anyway.
Now, it could easily be said that you've taken the estate in a very different direction from your father, and you've involved much more of the land and the space. What has his response been to what you were doing with the whiskey and what you've tried to create?
Well, first of all, my dad Henry deserves credit because it was his idea to do the whiskey.
Oh, okay.
So, but he and I did it together. Dad's been a complete inspiration to me, and you know, he obviously started with the rock concerts in 81, and that's how we held on to the property, and next year will be 40 years of Slane concerts. So we recognized back in 2009 when we started the business that we needed to diversify. But I've always had his full support. We did this together. He went out on the road just like I did, selling whiskey, doing tastings, and he loves it too. But I guess taking it in a different direction, being able to, as you said earlier, involve the land and our water source, and most of all, the actual site for the distillery itself was right next to the family home, Slane Castle. So to see those buildings repurposed, come back to life, and once again employing local people, which we would have done traditionally on the farm, but Dad had to lay off a lot of people when he took over in the 70s because couldn't afford to pay the wages. And now, many years later, we're once again employing local people, adding value from what we grow on the farm and making some great whiskey in the process.
Now, to get this all up and kicking, as you mentioned earlier, Brown-Forman have been involved and have invested quite heavily. What has this meant to the brand, and how much influence have they had in the direction that the brand has taken?
So the partnership with Brown-Forman started in 2015. I was lucky enough to meet Garvin Brown, who's the chairman of Brown-Forman. He's a Brown family member. And I remember actually when we had the initial lunch, we spoke about the Irish whiskey opportunity. They had said they wanted to get into the category. I had a project that was ready to go. But we actually spent most of the lunch talking about what it means to be a family business. And that's the philosophy of, I guess, always thinking about the next generation and beyond. And they think that way too. So it was really a meeting of minds, and that enabled us to get the deal done. Myself and Dad, you know, knew we couldn't fund the construction of the distillery by ourselves. We needed a partner.
Yeah.
But I wanted a partner who knew how to make whiskey, knew how to sell it, and were decent people as well. And those three things came together. So they transformed the project because it meant we could build a distillery. And, you know, they have a great presence out as a route to market in over here in Australia and other countries like America. So yeah, it's totally transformed what started out as an idea around the kitchen table into what will hopefully become a global brand.
Have they had much influence on the barrels you use, the way you distill, the way you operate at all?
No, I mean, it's very much a collaboration. A good example would be the Virgin American Oak barrel that we use in Slane as one of the three. Because they have their own cooperage and make new barrels, it was an obvious direction to include that as part of the mix. That would be pretty unusual for Irish, and it has developed a very distinctive note as a result. So they bring a lot of experience to the table. You know, their research and development into maturation, you know, they know whiskey. And I think that's going to make us stronger in terms of the style and capability in whiskey production as a result. So, you know, we are an Irish team, but we have the backup of all of that very extensive R&D and technical support from their long and incredible experience in whiskey making.
Now, we were talking earlier about the whiskey being triple casked. What exactly are the rules for Irish whiskey?
The only rule is it needs to be in a wooden cask for 3 years. You could use multi-cask, you could use one cask, there's no stipulation. You can actually even experiment with different woods as well. So the triple casking is just, I guess, it, what it brings to the table is it just increases the complexity of the liquid. So we could have, as I said, just blended the malt and grain whiskey that we bought from others back in 2015, but we said, no, we want to put our own stamp on this and try and build some additional complexity. And it took us 2 years to do it, but I think it was worth it, you know. I remember when we got the gold medal in the Irish Whiskey Awards for the second time in the blended category. That was a real, I guess, pat on the back for the team who put it together. And the judge's comment was that we had over-delivered on flavour for the price point. And that's exactly what we set out to do.
Now, I assume that same triple blend will exist in future expressions?
I don't think we're going to necessarily confine ourselves to triple cask for all of our products, because I would like in the future, it'd be nice to have a single barrel or single cask program. So that would mean confining the whiskey to one cask for its entire life. I think that can produce some wonderful whiskies as well. But the triple cask blend is here to stay as our core offering.
Well, no matter how you do the casks in the future, is there a particular note or perhaps a particular flavour that consumers can easily say makes Slane stand out from every other Irish whiskey out there?
Well, I think firstly, without doubt, Slane has a lovely kind of sweet, heavy nose. So starting with the nose and the vanilla note that comes from that virgin oak is very distinctive. You won't find that in the other Irish blends because they don't use virgin oak. So that pulls us apart. But then in terms of the palate, the body, I would say Slane is smooth, accessible, but full flavoured. That's our style. I don't want anything light coming out of Slane Distillery. I'm not interested in the fluffy stuff. I want big, full flavoured whiskies.
Now, obviously you need to age what is being blended for at least 3 years. Are you looking to age beyond that?
We actually make three different whiskey types at Slane. We make a triple distilled malt whiskey, a triple distilled pot still whiskey, which is the introduction of unmalted barley into the mash bill. And then finally, we actually have six column stills so that we can make grain whiskey or column distilled whiskey as well. All of those whiskies are going to mature at different rates. So grain tends to come right the quickest. Malt will need longer again, and then the pot still just has more character to interact with the wood, so I think that's probably going to take the longest. But it'll be ready when it's ready, and as our stuff is sitting there, you know, I've been lucky enough to taste a lot of other whiskies from other distilleries. I think at 3 years old on the day, it's still kind of too young. It's going to need a bit longer to really come right, and any of them.
Do you want to explain the difference in taste that a column versus a pot still can produce?
So column distilled whiskey is taken off to a much higher proof. It's a continuous process. You're going to get less congeners in there. So it's a lighter profile, but it's a great blank canvas when you put to wood. Your malt whiskey or pot still whiskey in comparison is going to, it's done on a batch process. It's not taken off to quite such a high proof from the final still. But it also, because it has longer to evolve, there's a lot more character in there. There's more oils going on, there's more congeners. Mm-hmm. And as a result, it's a heavier spirit, which is going to not fight, but it's going to dance with the wood a lot more. So your grain whiskey will tend to be lighter, but you can get some lovely wood input. The other ones, it's going to be more about the quality of the spirit itself.
Considering that Slane has a history of rock concerts, Are you guys ever going to do any sonic enhancements the way that Blackened have done with their whiskey?
Yeah, I know. It made me laugh. So it's not something we have done, to be honest. I think you would have to do the sonic enhancement for a long period of time to actually agitate the liquid. So, you know, it's a great story. It'll be a fun thing to do, but we haven't done it to date. But maybe I should stick a barrel up on the front of the stage for the next headline, and we could have a bit of fun with that, you know.
Or you could just keep playing that music to the barrel.
We'd have to find a quiet room at the distillery, though, you know, or soundproof it or something.
Oh, completely. But until that happens, if somebody were buying Slane for the first time, how would you recommend that they drink it?
So I think it's very important to taste it neat first. But the most important thing for me is when you're meeting a new whiskey, you know, the nose is so important. So before you go near tasting it, give yourself time to really take in the aroma. So I like to leave the mouth open and just breathe through the nose and do that a few times. And that kind of warms you up before you go near it.
Right.
And with Slane, you're going to get hit with the vanilla and the brown sugar. You might pick up that like little bit of ripe banana note. And then you're into the palate, little sip first, let it coat the palate, breathe a few times, and then go back and have another longer and take your time with it. You know, it's almost like chewing a toffee. You just give it a decent amount of time, and that will start to unpick the rest of the flavour notes.
And the flavour notes are that really sort of strong, fruity...
Yeah, so you're going to get the sherry impact, you're going to get your raisins, your dried fruit notes. You'll definitely get the heavier brown sugar. So the vanilla is more on the nose than on the palate. So once you're into the palate, it's Demerara sugar, it's ripe banana. You're getting into the raisins, the sultanas, and then, as I say, right on the finish, when the whiskey's gone, you're going to get a nice lingering little bit of spice, which is a bit of wood spice from the virgin oak and like a delicate brown or baking spice note from the sherry cask.
Now, I imagine this question is going to horrify you, but if they were not to drink it neat, but instead put it in a cocktail, what sort of drink would you recommend?
Well, firstly, that doesn't horrify me, because actually... A lot of very old cocktails came out of Prohibition in the US, and Irish whiskey was the number one drink back then. So cocktails have a long association with Irish whiskey. I think one of the ones that's interesting for me right at the moment is coffee and whiskey. So obviously there's the Irish coffee, which people would be familiar with, but you know it's quite hot here in Australia. So the one I'm enjoying at the moment is actually you combine it with iced coffee.
Okay.
And you put the, so you make an iced coffee, you can add in a bit of milk if you want, maybe a little bit of sugar syrup if you've got a slightly sweeter tooth, but Slane's naturally quite a sweet whiskey anyway with those brown sugar notes.
Yeah.
So you basically make an iced coffee with Slane and it's delicious. So it's something a little different. And then if you want to do a spirit forward drink, it actually makes pretty mean old fashioned again because of the heavy sweet notes, you can dial right back on the sugar syrup.
If people are experimenting with cocktails, what other cocktail flavours do you think would work particularly well with Slane?
So you can either go, I've had actually some pretty good tiki style drinks because you've got the tropical note from the banana, so you can bounce into pineapple and stuff like that. Lemon and honey, so that kind of acidity balances really nicely against the sweet notes. So a good one would be take some fresh lemon juice, some good local honey, put in some Slane, and then, it sounds a bit weird, but top it up with tonic, because that kind of, the sort of, again, the acidity of the tonic cuts against the sweet notes really nicely.
Okay, yeah.
So that one I call a River Boyne Fizz, and that's one of my kind of favourite nice, light, refreshing drinks.
And what were you calling it, sorry?
A River Boyne Fizz, named after our water source. So.
Okay. Now, what has the reaction of consumers been so far to the whiskey?
Always pretty positive. You know, I do tastings all the time in education. I think generally when people taste Slane for the first time, and this is people saying to me, I think we deliver a lot of flavour for the price point. I wanted to make Slane accessible and affordable.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as a big overpowering or intimidating, but there's plenty of flavour there. And it's at a price point where, you know, you can buy a bottle without breaking the bank. So overwhelmingly, people see this as a really accessible, easy drinking, smooth but full flavoured, you know.
Scotch whisky has been so prominent. Do you find that they're surprised that it's Irish?
That's a good question. I think Irish is enjoying great resurgence. So I think people definitely know it's an Irish. I mean, this is not a Scotch blend. It's an Irish whiskey, I guess, with some American cues, thanks to those two American barrels. Someone described this as a good Irish whiskey for bourbon drinkers, which I think is an interesting comment, yeah, because it has got those nice American cues, but it is very definitively Irish because the sherry barrel pulls it all the way back to that lovely Irish, yeah, character. So, yeah, I think it's a well-balanced, but you know, we're seeing people moving between whiskey brands and between categories a lot more than we used to. So you might have a Japanese one day, an American the next day, right, and then, yeah, a Scotch. So I hope that when they come to an Irish, the reason they'll hopefully get out of Slane is the reason they're hopping around is they're interested in flavour. Right. And that's why I wanted to make a blend that had a bit of substance.
Okay. And what has the reaction of bartenders been?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with bartenders. I think what they enjoy about it is because it's relatively complex, you can put it in a long drink or a cocktail and it's not going to get lost. Right. It's got enough presence to work in those style of drinks. And so they really enjoy playing with it. I mentioned earlier, like, I've had bartenders make me a tiki drink. I've had, like, a classic, like a Tipperary, you know, classic Irish whiskey, mm-hmm, cocktail. So I think the reaction of bartenders overwhelmingly, and even talking to some last night, they said, this is a spirit that has, I guess, it's easy to, it's very flexible, okay? So you can diversify into all the different structures with no problem. There's a lot there to play with. Right. So, yeah, it's been really positive. Had great feedback.
You're talking earlier about the resurgence of Irish whiskey. How do you see its future unfolding?
It's on the up and up at the moment. We're now close to 30 distilleries in Ireland, you know, and that's most of those, the vast majority of those have been within the last 5 years. If you look at the distribution of Scotch globally, for example, Irish is still not very established. We're everywhere, but in some where you've only got a small presence. So I think the opportunities for growth are huge. So I predict a very good next 20, 30 years for Irish, I hope, and hopefully make a positive contribution towards that.
Irish whiskey has a reputation for being quite traditional, but you've actually got quite a bit of innovation in your distillery.
We've definitely built in some innovation in the distillery. For example, we have an anaerobic digester on site, which we haven't commissioned yet, but that will take the waste product from the stills, we'll feed it into the microorganisms, they will then create biogas, and then we can burn that biogas to heat the stills. So that'll reduce our...
Okay. So it's working as a,
yeah,
little...
Well, it's basically saving energy, but when it's up and running, it's going to reduce our carbon footprint by about 30%.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're doing what we can in terms of the barley cultivation to deliver on quality and yield, but also assessing our impact on biodiversity as well, because I think we have a responsibility to try and leave things better than when we arrive. That's really what myself and my wife Karina are trying to do. So I would say, yes, we're traditional, but we're trying to be progressive in terms of how we do things.
Right.
Now let's talk about where Slane is available. What markets have you gone into so far?
So not too many. So in Europe, we're currently in France, Czech Republic, and then we're in Australia, but also New Zealand. And then a little bit of travel retail, and that's it for now.
Okay. Is that going to expand over the next few years?
We're careful about where we go, because we want to make sure if we do go into market, we can give it the support it needs and focus and attention. So yes, we will be expanding to other countries, but we're not taking a shotgun approach. We're nurturing the markets one by one as they come online. But yeah, over the next 5 years, we'll be in a few more countries for sure.
You didn't mention the US.
You mentioned America, yeah. We did a full national rollout, so we're available in every state.
Okay, because that's quite a thing, I believe.
Yeah. I had a friend who walked into Anchorage in Alaska recently and was happy to see Slane behind the bar. So yeah, we're getting out there.
Cool. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.